Writer-director Garson Kanin had a way of sending out serious messages about the culture and laughing all the way.
Now look, all I'm trying to say is that there are lots of things that a man can do, and in society's eyes, it's all hunky-dory.
In Hollywood in the 40s and 50s, he wrote movies exploring the battle of the sexes, especially in working life. With his wife Ruth Gordon, he wrote Adam's Rib, when a woman shoots her husband. A pair of married lawyers, Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, argue on opposite sides of the legal case.
Mostly, I think, females get advantages.
We don't want advantages.
Kanin and Gordon's script for Pat and Mike had Hepburn as a beguiling sportswoman.
Archery.
Say, you...
Ice hockey, basketball, and a little baseball.
Tracy played her no-nonsense manager.
Because what's good for you is good for me and you for me, see? We're the same. We're equal. We're partners, see? 5-0, 5-0.
Helping to build her confidence right past all obstacles. And Kanin alone wrote It Should Happen to You, in which a woman with a craving for fame rents billboards all over New York advertising her name, Gladys Glover.
When you think that last week I was nobody, and this week I've got my name on that big sign and dancing in a place like this where everybody's somebody.
Gladys, played by Judy Holliday, becomes an immediate celebrity.
Did you say Gladys Glover?
That's right.
Are you her yourself?
That's right.
Much to the disdain of her documentary filmmaker friend, played by a young Jack Lemmon.
What is the point of it? Where is it getting you? No place.
No place?
But Kanin even had that kind of life, if that's possible. Everything about his own story resembles an improbable Broadway comedy of a certain era. The plot? High school dropout turns himself into a brilliant, much revered, fabulously successful show business dynamo, married to a brilliant actress-writer, and both with more famous friends than they could count. And it's all true. Kanin, born 1912 in Rochester, New York, first thought he might make it as a saxophone player. When that failed, he studied acting and landed in a play directed by the legendary man of the theater, George Abbott, says Jay Binder, a leading Broadway casting director.
This was an incredible learning ground for Garson Kanin because Abbott was so precise, and Abbott's way of writing was to say as much as he could with as little as possible.
Abbott's credit list as director in the 20s and 30s? Chicago, 20th Century, On Your Toes, Boy Meets Girl, Room Service, classics, too numerous to mention.
And I think that that was an incredible first job.
Garson Kanin soaked it up, then left New York for Hollywood in 1937. Kanin wrote later that he, along with the rest of his generation, was still groggy from the slugging we had taken during the desperate Depression years. He came out of it, directing for RKO a picture called A Man to Remember.
Well, what's so funny?
Well, I've been thinking of you as a sister all along, and you're not at all, are you?
And another five films after that. Boy Wonder, they called him.
He was a very young director. He's one of the youngest directors in Hollywood.
In the middle of a great run, Kanin was drafted in 1941. He made something of that too, says Peter Levin, who acted under Kanin's direction in The Diary of Anne Frank.
But the thing I remember most was a documentary he made with Sir Carol Reed about the Second World War. And it was Eisenhower's version of the whole process preparing for D-Day.
And then that first German artillery caught us. Pretty accurate, too. An hour later, I was short 18 men.
That was wow. The true glory, and it won the Oscar for Best Documentary in 1945. It was on Army-related assignments in Washington that Kanin hatched the idea for his famous play, Born Yesterday, which later became a movie. In that patriotic moment toward the end of World War II, Kanin wrote a biting comedy about the threats to our system, embodied in the play by Harry Brock, a crooked tycoon with a scheme to make himself richer with the help of some politicians.
Hello, everybody.
Here we are. Mr. Hedges, Harry Brock.
It's about time us two got together, Congressman.
About time.
He brings along his uneducated girlfriend, Billy Dawn, whom he hopes will be an asset.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like.
Yes.
I'd like to learn how to talk good.
Brock hires a tutor to improve Billy's mind, and then things change.
I used to think you were a big man, Harry. I'm beginning to see you're not.
She gets wise and turns against her rich friend, foiling his plans to make these very lucrative, very corrupt government connections.
You know what she called me before? A fascist!
She's it.
Born Yesterday opened in February of 1946 and ran for 3 years on Broadway. And, no doubt about it, it established Garson Kanin's own comically serious voice. The message was heard by its generation and those that followed.
I remember being profoundly impressed and influenced by Born Yesterday, which seemed to have it all.
The late great comedy writer Larry Gelbart, known for the TV series MASH and the film Tootsie, among so many others, felt that he owed a lot to that play.
It was a very streetwise, funny show about big government, really. And I thought that was the perfect combination that I would like to emulate, and I hope I have in some way, although I have not yet written my Born Yesterday.
Kanan kept going, moving east and writing and directing for Broadway in the 50s, and yes, experimenting with television in the 60s, where he did have his flops. He created and wrote a short-lived TV series, Mr. Broadway, which lasted only 13 episodes on CBS, themed by Dave Brubeck. The story of a public relations man, with every Manhattan actor and every Manhattan location fully utilized.
Mr. Broadway is presented by Bel Air, the light menthol cigarette.
Reportedly throughout his life, he continued to work like a demon, but he took care to build friendships and mentor people and help them along.
Garson Kanan was in David Merrick's office.
Actress Tova Feldschuh, a longtime friend of Kanan's, remembers when they first met. She was up for a part in a play to be directed by Kanan.
David Merrick had taken a shine to me, for which I'm so grateful. And he said, I've got a little actress here. Her name is Tova Feldschuh. And Garson Kanan said, well, she'd be playing Miriam Palatnik. Give her the part. With a name like that, she's got to be right.
Garson Kanan died in 1999. Born Yesterday, I guess, was his main claim to fame. But he also did all of the aforementioned and so much more. And he never lost sight of the laughs or the messages. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.